This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'aghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudillalah wa man yudlil fala hadiyalah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that many of us, we take it for granted for being Muslims. We think that being people of Tawheed or people of the Sunnah, that we won't be punished or there will be no responsibility in the Day of Judgment, that we are free from our sins. There is a slight element of truth to this, that min fada'il of Ahlul Tawheed, amongst the virtues or the blessings of being a people of Tawheed, is that their sins will be wiped out. As for that definitely being or taking place, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانُ وَتَعَالَى, that knowledge lies with only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously we hope that our belief and our journey of Tawheed leads us to become those individuals who earn that virtue. But for some of us who carry the message of Tawheed, the message of the Sunnah, we find complacency, negligence of Tawheed, negligence of the Sunnah, which leads to negligence in our actions, leads to disobedience, leads to ma'asi, leads to the carrying out of sins. And sins is one reason why we are suffering, whether personally or as a masjid or as a community or as an ummah. Amongst the prime reasons why this Muslim ummah is suffering after lack of tawheed and belief is the sins which we Muslims carry out. Because as I began with, many of us, we take it for granted, we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us because we are Muslims. It is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not destroy this Muslim ummah, but that does not mean that this Muslim ummah will not suffer. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ, corruption has appeared upon the land and the ocean because what man has sent forth with his own hands, whether we take it to be the ozone layer, destruction of the ozone layer, corruption on the of the land, the earth, of oil, spillages in the oceans that we find, and then we find the more inner meaning, our sins, our vices, has led to corruption upon this earth. And Allah wants to taste the fruits, us to taste the fruits of our own actions. And via the tasting of these fruits, that we may then begin to repent, to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside the end of Surah At-Tawbah, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ آمٍ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you see that we test you maybe once or twice in a year, that you may repent or you may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers to become stronger, for the believers to repent, to make al-istighfar, to make at-tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those people who make tawbah and those individuals who purify themselves. Man is always full or will make sins. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All of the children of the sons of Adam, the children of Adam will err. will make mistakes. But the best of those individuals are those who repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in prophetic traditions that we find, the Prophet alayhi wasallam mentions, I swear by Allah, I seek repentance 70 marra kulla yawm, 70 times. وفي بعض الروايات, other narrations, أكثر من 100 مرة, more than 100 times, the Prophet alayhi wasallam will make istighfar. And the Prophet alayhi wasallam had no sins. There are no sins on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is pure. The most purest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The ultimate creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best human being that ever came on the face of this earth. And he will be the best inside paradise as well. The one who will open up the doors of paradise. Only permission has been given to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But yet why is he making istighfar? Why is he making tawbah? Why is he encouraging this Muslim ummah? And why does the Quran mention as well, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Or you believe, repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a tawbah which is full of sincerity. نَصُوحًا. That's where you find the word nasiha, advice, is taken linguistically from the pureness of the honey which is extracted from the beehive. That when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's with total sincerity, devotion and commitment, and to become a better individual. When a person thinks that there's nothing wrong that I'm doing inside my life, that is a wrong understanding. All of us will err, will make mistakes. Thus you find the soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside Surah Yusuf, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This soul of all of us has an inclination towards evil, or coming towards, given the opportunity, go towards something which is incorrect. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except for that soul which has the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it. So this is the first key beginning of us Muslims in general, that we have to recognize that we do commit sins, we do make mistakes, and these mistakes are detrimental to our life. They take away our blessings. Thus you find, talking about Nuh alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَقَارًا. That's why many ulama mentioned that when people complain about their sustenance, about their rizq, about their family, about their wealth, about their life, these are the fawaid of istighfar, of tawbah. What is the matter with you? You don't repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will open up the heavens for you. Give you the goodness, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. Another place inside the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَوْ آمَنُوا أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If only the people of the village they believed, will rip open the blessings of the heavens and the earth for these individuals. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. But there are people who reject, don't want to be committed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a mention about Bani Israel, when they highlighted, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to punish us? نَحْنُ أَحِبَّاءُ وَأَبْنَاءُ. We are His beloved ones, we are the children of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَدِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِثْلٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that we are going to punish you. You're just like the rest of the human beings or the creation that we've made, because of your sins. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish individuals, place hardships and difficulties when people turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find that kufr in general means being ungrateful, full of ingratitude. That a person does not recognize either the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not want to pray, does not want to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Iblis, قَالَ مَا مَنَكَ عَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ أَسْتَقْبَرْتَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Iblis, said, what prevented you from bowing down to that which I created with my own two hands? أَسْتَقْبَرْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ. Are you an arrogant individual or a lofty individual? What was the mantiq? What was the logical understanding of Iblis? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said that you created me from fire and you created him from clay. He used his logic, because he thought that fire is more superior than clay. Thus you find awwal jarima, the first sin, forget about on the earth, was al-qatl, the story of Habil wa Qabil. Awwal jarima fi sama, fil jannah. The first sin in the heavens, the first sin in paradise was al-kibr, was arrogance. Iblis said, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, I'm better than him. وَقَمْ نَسْمَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. How many times you find Muslims saying to another Muslim that I'm better than you? It's a racist understanding. It's a big disease, a big sin that we find, and many of us, we fail to understand. All of us are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Children of Adam, all of you have been created from Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. And we made you various nations and tribes to get to know one another. The best of you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best one? Who are the best individuals? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best of you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find the muttaqi, the pious individual, is the one who sticks to the halal and avoids the haram. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, kullu wali, kullu muttaqi fahuwa waliullah. Every person who sticks to the halal, avoids the haram, becomes a friend of Allah. Goes into the friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. Friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. Those who have iman and follow a path of taqwa. You can't say you're a believer and then you do haram in your life. Naqisul iman, deficiency inside your iman, da'ful iman. That's what many of us, we say that we believe, we're Muslims, but we don't want to do certain things. That's if I end up going back to Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled Iblis because of doing one, refusing to do one sajda. Not a sajda of ibadah, a sajda of sharaf, tashreef. A sajda to show rank and superiority to Adam alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Bani Adam, children of Adam, have been given rank, dignity, prestige. We take you over the land and the oceans. We gave you marked preference over everything that we created. That's us, the human beings. Iblis was told to prostrate in front of Adam. فَأَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He refused to bow down and he gave his logic that I'm better than this individual. He was what? Expelled from Jannah. Expelled from Jannah for one sajda. رَكِّزُ هَذَا. Focus on this. He was expelled from Jannah for refusing to do one sajda. نَحْنُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ الْيَوْمِ. Today we Muslims, not classifying any Muslims as disbelievers, we refuse to pray. We refuse to pray. Imam Shanqiti in his tafsir, based upon his ayah and other ayat inside the Quran, or Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, highlights that Iblis, from this one sajda, became a disbeliever. Look at Muslims today who don't want to pray. Muslims who don't want to pray, what is the ruling about such type of individuals? Thus the Quran mentions, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They came after a group of people, اتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. They began to follow their lust and their desires. Lust and desires is disobedience, is sins. Person enters into sins, eventually what happens? They leave their prayer. Leave the prayer. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. They're going to be thrown inside غَيْ غَيْ هُوَ وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. As ulama tafasir mentioned, this is a valley in paradise. It's a valley inside Jahannam for people who don't pray. That's why many ulama have gone to the ruling, a Muslim who does not pray and refuses to pray can be classified, or they have the authority to do that, the judges, to classify that person as a non-Muslim, as a disbeliever. لا يصلي عليه. Nobody prays upon that individual and is not buried amongst the Muslims. What is one reason why some of us Muslims, we don't pray, especially in our culture? What do we find? Because we feel that we're sinful. We commit sins, so I may as well not pray. When you commit sins, you're a sinful individual. When you leave the salah, then you can become a disbeliever. That's the companions mentioned. We never saw anything in our life to classify a person as a disbeliever except for a salah. Person who leaves it. Person should never ever leave the salah. That's the way of talbis, iblis. The trap, deception of the devil. I'm a sinful individual. I do wrong things in my life. Why should I pray? I miss one prayer, I may as well miss the next prayer. I miss Yawm al-Jum'ah, I may as well miss the next Yawm al-Jum'ah. May as well miss Ramadan. Not fast, not do this. This is the trap of the devil that some Muslims they fall into. Come with these excuses and they eventually leave the prayer. Leave their link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayer will drive the person away from these sins. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. As-salah takes you away from al-fawahish, lewdness, promiscuity, sexual misconduct, wickedness, bad behavior, bad conduct. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. And anything which is evil. When a person understands the prayer, the concept of the prayer, understands al-ruku', what's sujood, what's tashahud, understands what's being read inside the prayer. Not like many of us, just becomes a form of exercise of offering the prayer. No impact. The prayer has a very, very deep impact upon the believing individuals. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes al-mu'minun in the 23rd chapter of the Qur'an. Describes who the believers are. The first sifa, the first characteristic of the believing individuals, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful will be the believers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are subservient and focused inside their prayers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something strange right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Prayer is going to be something very, very difficult. Except for the person or the people who are in a state of devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prayer becomes a format of bringing a person away from their sins. Weakening the sins. If the person sins and then stays away from their prayer, then it becomes more trouble, more difficulty for that individual to drift further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of us, we don't see us as doing sins. We think that these sins are trivial. There is no trivial sin inside al-Islam. There is no trivial sin. In the hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a person who wants to ignite the fire, he goes and collects the various branches and twigs, and he puts them together till eventually the pot begins to boil and it begins to cook something. What is this method? What is this parable? This parable is that every single twig has a role to play. Every single sin comes together. It comes together to harm the individual. Thus you find a person should not look at the smallness of the sin, but look at the greatness of the one that you've disobeyed. Thus Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he mentioned, أَنَّ الْمُنَافِقُ. The hypocrite is the one, when he or she commits a sin, they just see it like a fly on the tip of their nose and they brush it aside. Think nothing of it. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُ. As for the believer, when he or she commits a sin, they see it like a mountain on top of their head about to collapse. That's how a Muslim sees it. Muslim doesn't see anything trivial. Every day we find people begin to dissect and say that everything is trivial. It's only sunnah. It's only a small sin. Ulama have mentioned, لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار ولا صغيرة مع الاستمرار. There is no big sin if you make tawbah istighfar, it wipes it out. That's why you find a very strange hadith authenticated by Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani rahmatullah alayh. Person commits a sin, you find it said that remain or don't write it down for 6 hours, because if he repents or she repents within that 6 hours period, then wipe the sin away of that individual. So لا كبيرة مع الاستغفار. There's no big sin if a person repents. وَلَا صَغِيرَ مَعَ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. There's no small sin, meaning it remains from a small sin, moves into what? مَعَ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. Continuously doing a small sin, تُصْبِحْ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ, becomes a major sin. Continuously doing a small sin is classified in the Sharia, it becomes eventually classified as a major sin. That's how ulama have dissected things. Not the way that we think of certain things. It's only a small sin. It's only trivial. What impact does it have on me? What impact does it have? Wallahi, ulama, when they used to wake up in the morning
and they see that their wife is not obeying them, their children are not obeying them, things are not working well. Sometimes there's trials and tests. There's a fine line between trial and test in life. But many times they'll go back and ask themselves, which sunnah have I left in my life? What wrong deed did I do last night? What sin did I commit? Did I backbite against anyone? Did I look at haram? Some of the ulama, if you read the seerah, Sir I'lamun Nubala of Imam al-Dhahabi, you read the lives of these individuals, tata'ajjab. One of them says that even I just looked at the foot of a woman, it took away my khushu, took away the Quran from me. Just saw the foot of a woman. We find it as trivial. We find it as trivial. That's how ulama, they saw certain things. Just that glance took away their iman, took away their devotion. What do we see every single day? We think nothing of it. It's a modern world. It's a life that we have to live in. It corrodes your iman. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Indeed, on their heart has become an iron seal, has appeared upon their hearts for the sins that they commit. In the tafsir of this ayah that we find, in the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, if I'm not mistaken, every time a person commits a sin, a black dot comes upon that heart of that individual. If they repent, it's wiped out. But if a person continues, another dot, till eventually a person's heart is blackened. That's why a person who misses three jum'ahs in a row, that person's heart has been sealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no guidance comes towards that individual except for when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. But some of us, we find it once again as something which is trivial. That work is more important, life is more important, non-Muslims more important. We'll just squeeze Jum'ah here or just attend the formality. Get it over and done with. That's how we see things. Get it over and done with. Well, maybe on the day of judgment, may Allah forbid, Allah will get it over and done with and throw us into Jahannam. And get it over and done with. Yes, eventually Muslims will go to Jannah, there's no doubt. That's the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, that every Muslim will eventually go to Jannah. Every Muslim will go to Jannah, but it's about finding the swiftest and the quickest way to get to Jannah. And one of those ways, as we touched in the beginning, is about being of people of Tawheed, and secondly, being people of Sunnah, and thirdly, being people of trying to abstain. Stay away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and encouraging the people around us. That you find a very beautiful hadith, hadith of Safina, the hadith of a ship. We find that all of this Muslim ummah is just basically traveling together in one great big ship. Because sometimes people take it personally. That why do these people, why do they speak like this? Why do they disturb our peace? Why do they stop people doing haram? Why are they always talking about this? You fail to understand we are one Muslim ummah traveling in one ship. Somebody's the admiral. Somebody cleans the deck. Someone cooks the food. Someone takes down the mast. Someone controls the ship. They're all working together. And thus you find that in this hadith talking about the ship, the people on the lower deck, when they need water, they need to come to the people on the upper deck. And the people on the upper deck throw their buckets, they pull up the water and they bring it downstairs. So some smart guy downstairs, he thinks, you know, there's no point going to the top. Let's just drill a hole here and bring the water out of the ship. And what will happen? They will drown, and the upper deck will drown. فَهَلَكُوا جَمِيعًا. They will all drown, all be destroyed. This parable hadith is talking about what? About al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa-nahi anil-munkar. About ordering the good and forbidding the evil. If we don't do it, we're all going to drown. Don't think that I'm an exception, the imam's exception, this person's exception. We are all brethren, we're all together. We are a reflection of our society. That's what we are. We don't make the effort. Then don't complain about the society. When people come and say that the average Muslim, وَالْعِلْمُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the average Muslim inside this country at the moment comes from a life of disobedience and then begins to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The average young Muslim I'm referring to. When we was growing up, the average Muslim would very rarely get involved in haram. But now it's the opposite. Every young boy in general will come through a life of vice. The life of the haram that we all know that we're surrounded by. Because we don't want to make that effort. As we all know, the trafficking of drugs is a big problem. Not amongst non-Muslims, amongst our Muslim community. It's a big issue that we turn a blind eye to it and think nothing of it. It has no impact upon us. It has a big impact upon us. A very, very big impact upon our children. That even those elderly individuals that you find would be involved in the trafficking of these substances, it enters into their family, enters into the home, destroys people. Destroys our community, takes us towards haram, takes people towards sins and vice that we find. As we become complacent, you find that the society begins to corrode away. zina becomes common now. It's not a big thing. Sexual relationships before marriage, even whilst being married, adultery, fornication, it's no big thing. Because why, everybody does it. When did you ever find a Muslim? When do you ever find our parents? Our grandparents? When do you ever find them being involved in a zina? When do you find that? Very, very rarely. Nadiran. Very rarely. You know what, our grandparents, when they came to this country, read the history in these towns, in these cities, in these factories. They used to work hard after the Second World War. And they said to these people, they asked them, what do you want? They said, we want to bring our families over. Because in general, they were chaste people. They guarded themselves. That's why Surah Al-Mu'minun mentions, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Believers are those individuals who guard their chastity, guard their private parts. They said to these individuals, we want to bring our family members over. We want to go home and get married and take care of ourselves. This is what our grandfathers were. This is what our fathers were, our parents were. Today, what do we find? What do you find? Common practice. Common practice, girlfriend, boyfriend relationship, even on this day of Valentine's Day. What do we find? A common practice, a shallow understanding of life that people think that this is the way forward. Even some of our parents, we don't think much of it. There's no harm if my daughter is going to university, she's mixing with the opposite gender, she finds someone, she gets married, she settles down. How can that be something that doesn't trouble you inside your mind? Excuse expression, your daughter could be committing zina and you think nothing of it. At the youth, لا يدخل الجنة. A dayuth will never enter into paradise. قيل ومن من is dayuth? Who's a person known as a dayuth? A dayuth is a man who doesn't care about the female members of his family. Doesn't care how his wife dresses, how his daughter dresses, how his sister dresses. Doesn't care who she speaks to, how she speaks to that person, what she does in her life. And that's at times the masses of so-called Muslim men. They don't care how their wife dresses. Whether she observes hijab, she doesn't observe hijab, she talks like this, she dresses like this, my daughter does this, my sister does this. They don't care less. Lesh tu salli, why are you praying for in your life? Oh, it's personal. Deen is not personal. Religion is not personal. It's a global affair. You have to encourage one another. You have to remind one another. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people ever raised up. You order the good and you forbid the evil. That's the Muslim is the one when they see vice. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever amongst you sees an evil, then change it with your hand. If you're not able to change it with your hand, at least speak out against it. If you cannot speak out against it, at least despise it inside your heart. وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the most weakest of iman. At least inside your heart, that you see something which is haram. You see munkar. It plays on your mind. Some of us, it doesn't play in our mind. We see munkar, we see haram. We see what people are doing. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us one bit. It's part of life. It's a norm. It's society. We have to accept these things. We don't have to accept these things. We don't have to accept these things from the Muslim community. We expect far better from them. Far better from them. That they should not be stooping down to such a low level that sins become common practice. Sins become something which is trivial. Sins become something that we should all be doing it inside our lives. And as I mentioned, that many of our Muslim youth, they come through a life of sins, then eventually they may begin to awaken up or begin to reflect or begin to think. And some of our parents are totally unaware. Unfortunately, most of our parents are totally unaware of what our children are doing, what's happening inside their life, and what they're involved in. That's why even simple things like music that we find, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Inside the beginning of Surah Luqman, the 31st chapter, for some verse number 6 or so that we find, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, there's some people who seek by a lahu, is vulgar, vain speech, evil, immoral speech. They try to distract people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Suyuti inside his tafsir of Durrul Manthur, he mentions this, that the Quraysh used to hire singers, female singers, and say to them, sing and dance for the people and pour wine for them, so that people may not listen to the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Billahi alaykum, today, what is this world full of today? It's distraction. taking the youth away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, drifting them away. So people forget Allah. Then what does it become? That even the satellite channels, it becomes the adhan, and after adhan, return back to the drama, return back to the haram, return back to it. Or people out of respect, put the scarf over their head, or become silent for the adhan. This is mockery. This is mockery. The adhan, it should move a person, remind a person, give him a spiritual uplifting to come and to answer the call, to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make them reflect inside their life. If non-Muslims hear the adhan, and it's been proven, they find tranquility, find peace, they find proximity, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once I was in a masjid inside Islamabad. It's a Muslim country. A person, I walked in slightly late for Salatul Isha, and a person was standing there. I found it very, very strange. I found it very, very strange, a person standing there. It's a Muslim country. Why is he not praying? But because I was running late, I joined the prayer. And as I joined the prayer, then eventually, in the third or the fourth raka'ah, he came and he began to pray with us. And then we stood up to complete the prayer, he just remained there. Something came in my mind. Either there's something suspicious, may Allah forbid, about this individual. It's a Muslim country. Something's not right about this individual. Why is he not praying? So out of frustration, after completing the prayer, I asked him, why didn't you pray with us? He said, I'm a non-Muslim. He said, I'm a non-Muslim. He was an Italian. He entered into the mosque and he was crying. He said that what I saw of your prayer, the bowing, the prostrating, the devotion, it drove me close to Allah. Wallahi fakartu fi qalbi. I thought in my heart, how many of us now offered our prayer and were even thinking about Allah? He just saw the physical movements. He just saw the movements and it drove him to weep. It drove him to think about Allah, think about the Creator, think about the prayer. And here we are on a daily basis. We don't seem to understand the magnitude of the prayer. We don't seem to understand what it will do to a person's life. How it will drive them and help them to keep them away from sins. How it will purify the individual, make them a better individual. That is the key. The key is the Qur'an. That's the source of all goodness, of richness. Because many of us, we don't understand the Qur'an. Even to read it in a language that we understand will at times help us. We'll have a great penetration. We begin to read those ayat about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat al-zajr, ayat of punishment, chastisement, torture, the end affliction, the end hardship, that a person, every time ayat of azab are mentioned in general, what do they talk about? They talk about sins. That's why Imam al-Zahabi, in his famous book, Al-Kaba'ir, whereby Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins, whereby he lists some 90 odd sins. And when I read parts of it, and you think some of these sins that we do on a daily basis are classified as min al-kaba'ir. Classified amongst the major sins. How does one decipher a major sin? A major sin is one whereby the Quran mentions lahum adabun aleem. Therefore them is chastisement, is punishment, is the fire, is the burning rage, is torture, or there's a had, or there's a punishment upon this dunya, whether it be flogging, or stoning, or imprisonment, or whatever it may be, the punishment is laid there. All signs of being a kabira. And there are many kaba'ir, many sins that we do, which are classified as kaba'ir, we pay no attention to them. So our sins are detrimental to us. Sins will be detrimental to us that on the day of judgment, person will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُ مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرَ وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Person say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Person say, what's the matter with this book? What's the matter with this record? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. No small thing or no big thing, إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Except for, it's accounted for it. It's recorded it. That's what this book will do. Wallahi, in the day of judgment, is strange. It's strange. Inside the Quran, it mentions that our body will begin to speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people find it very strange that the mouth speaks. How can my hand speak? How will my thigh speak? How will my body speak on that day? That's what we think, because we think this is the only source of speaking. They will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who gave the ability to speak, will make these bodily parts speak. The earth will testify against us. That's what Surah Al-Zalzala, that you find Surah Al-Zilzal, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ later, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Man will say, what's the matter with you, with this earth? Why are you speaking against me? Why are you speaking against me? Even the earth will testify against us. Our own bodily parts will testify against us. Everything about us will testify against us. There's no hiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some of us who may think that we sin in secrecy and it's concealed. No one knows. Allah knows. Thus you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something inside Surah Yusuf in the beginning, talking about those people, the brethren of Yusuf alayhi salam, whereby they said, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. You know, afterwards, we become righteous people. Look how strange, wallahi strange the Qur'an is. The Qur'an is very strange. Qur'an is talking about Yusuf and his brothers, that either to kill him, they said, no, place him inside the well. Then afterwards, become righteous people. What's the relationship to this, to us today? The relationship is clear. Many of us Muslims, we think, do what you want to do, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Do what I want to do in my life, then when I get to your age of 40, or I've performed Hajj, I'm towards the end of my life, I've had children, done whatever I want to do in my life, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Now become a pious individual. That's why those elderly people who come to the front row, no disrespect to them, they should be there. Because according to my mind, if you're not praying with one foot in the grave, they are senile individuals. Because they're one foot in the grave. Allah loves them. But what is more preferred? What is more preferred in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A young person. A young person when their desires are high. Everything is there. Everything is exposed to. When a person gets to an elderly age, what does the Quran say about those individuals? That even when they've lost the vigor, they've lost the zeal, the passion, there's no parta in front of them. Why? Because they don't have no sexual temptation, no desires for them. Why does the Quran mention that? But what does it say about young individuals? How does it highlight about them? Because their shahwa, their desires are at the peak. So a person needs to control that. Thus you find sab'atun yudhilluhumu Allahu yawma la dhilla illa dhilluhu. 7 types of individuals will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there will be no shade. Straight after Imam Adil, after just Imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, شَابٌ نَشْأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ or نَشْأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. A young man or a young woman who grew up under or taking care of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's, and what are many of the young people doing in their life? Are they preserving themselves? Are they preserving, keeping themselves away from sins and away from vice? That's if I know the hadith, ihfadillah yahfadka. Preserve and guard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will guard and preserve you. Allah needs no guarding, but it means to preserve the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's some of the ulama, they mentioned, when some of the students asked the sheikh, 80 years old, 90 years old, person go to the toilet on their own, pray on their own, dress on their own, do everything on their own. Students asked the sheikh, فَمَا هُوَ السِّرِ? What's the hidden thing that, mashallah, tabarakallah, that in your life, elderly people, your age, we're not saying this is the general thing, but this is something specific that can happen at times, that other people your age are not able to do these things. He said that perhaps the reason may be that when we were young individuals, we avoided the haram in our lives. Now today Allah's preserved our bodily parts. Allah's preserved us that we could take care of ourselves. It doesn't mean that if a person gets old and they can't take care of themselves, that they've done something haram. Just trying to highlight that there's a special, sometimes privilege, special blessing that's given to them, that during when they were young, they guarded, they preserved themselves, they protected themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return gave them good health, gave them goodness, gave them purity, gave them a good life towards the end of their life. Because why? When they were young, they were obedient. Thus you find on the day of judgment, the foot of son of Adam will not move until they ask about 5 things. وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهِ. We'll be asked about what, when you were a young man, a young woman, what did you do with your life then? Not when you was an elderly individual, when you was young. And as a side point, anything under the age of 40 in the Sharia is classified as young. Anything under the age of 40, 40 is classified as a young individual. مَا بَيْنَ يَنِي إِشْرِينَ وَعَرْبَعِينَ, between 20 and 40 or 15 and 40 is classified as a young individual. What did you do with those 30, 35 odd years of your life? What did you do then? The foot of son of Adam will not move until he's asked about this. So if most of us have spent our lives in sins or disobedience, you find that they eventually, they catch up. They catch up on an individual. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify the individual in this dunya. And a person understands that in their life. That because of these sins, this is why I'm suffering. But those people are still rejoicing. Because you'd rather be punished for the sin in this dunya than inside the hereafter. You'd rather be punished here than inside the hereafter, whereby you know that you could be punished for eternity. But there's no comparison of the punishment in the hereafter with the punishment upon this dunya. So the person is always in the search of trying to stay away from sinning and disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find the encouragement to all of us Muslims in the hadith whereby a man, he killed 99 people. And he asked the people, هل لي من توبتين? He said to the people, is there any tawbah for me? They said, how can it be tawbah for you? How can it be tawbah for you? Ask the abid, ask the normal worshipper. Said, is there tawbah for me? He said, no. There's no tawbah for you. You're an evil man. You're a bad, you're a wicked person. فَقَتَلَهُ He killed him as well. And made it 100. He killed 100 people. Still felt remorseful in his life. He asked the people, who should I go to? Who should I ask? They said, go to the alim. Go to this person who's a scholar. وَهُنَا نَرَى فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ Here you see the rank of a scholar over a normal worshipper. Because ulama, عِنْدَمْ فِقْ فِي الدِّينِ They have understanding of the deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. That's why the average individuals, they can say whatever they want to say. But they should be very, very careful. Because to say this is halal, this is haram, or say this about another individual, could be detrimental. Even the companions that we find, not to belittle them, but help us to understand the concept, because they're all privileged and respected individuals. That one individual, he had a gash in his head. And you find that he was in a state of impurity, sexual defilement, had to perform the ghusl in the morning. So he asked him, what should I do? Because I have this wound as well. If water goes into it, it could cause me harm and I could die. What did they say? No, you have to perform it. Just like some of us today, isn't it? We just see things black and white. No, that's it, you have to do it. So he went and he bathed himself and he died. And the Prophet ﷺ was upset with them. He rebuked them that they killed him, they destroyed him. Allah sa'alu, why didn't they ask? Why did they not ask? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of dhikr, the people of Qur'an, people of ilm, if you don't know. Don't say to other people that this, you should do this, or you should do that. If you don't really know yourself, you could cause more hardship upon that individual. So when it came to this individual, look at his advice. Even after he killed 100 people, he said, you are living in a bad environment. فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ السُّوءِ You're surrounded by wicked, bad people. You need to leave this environment. You need to leave these people and to travel to a different land, a new land. This individual took his sincerity. That's why some of ulama highlight this hadith in the chapters of sincerity. In Kitab al-Ikhlas, in Kitab of Sincerity. He took this advice and he took that journey. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the hadith. When he took that journey, when he's heading towards a new land, he dies. The angels of punishment come and they say, this man, he killed 99 people. Then he killed another individual. This individual deserves to go to Jahannam. There's nothing good about this individual. The angel of mercy came. They said, what do you mean? Fair enough, he killed 99 people. Then he killed another individual. He was going to change. He was traveling to the new land. He wanted to change his life. So they began to dispute amongst themselves. So Allah sent another angel as a hakam, as a judge amongst them. And said, let us measure the land. Let us see which land he's closer to. If he's closer to the new land, he goes to paradise. If he's closer to the old land, he goes to Jahannam. They begin to measure the land. Some narrations via an arm's length. Some narrations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretched his body to be closer to the new land. And you find by an arm's length, he's closer to the new land. So the angels of mercy take him to Jannah. The key element ulama mentioned about this hadith is what? Sincerity. Is sincerity. Is change. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا For those individuals, Allah will change their bad deeds into what? Into good deeds. Will change their bad deeds into good deeds. Whoever makes tawbah, whoever makes that repentance, whoever forsakes, whoever gives it up, will change their deeds. Another place in the Quran, Surah Hud, we find, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرًا لِلذَّاكِرِينَ Indeed, good deeds, they blot out, they wipe out, they rub out bad deeds. Indeed, that is a reminder for whoever reflects. In the tafsir of Imam Suyuti, talking about this ayah, Surah Hud, if I'm not mistaken, The Prophet ﷺ mentions a person came to him and said to him, I've kissed a woman. I've kissed a strange woman. What is my atonement? How do I repent? So the Prophet ﷺ, he remained silent. And then these ayat were set down, established the prayer in the beginning and at the end of the day and portions of the day. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at. Indeed, good deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds. Indeed, that is a form of remembrance, whoever pays heed. Either he asked, or someone else asked, is this specific for him? Or is it general? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, بَلْ هُوَ عَامٌ. It's general. It's general for any individual. Any individual who does a bad deed, follows it up with a good deed, will wipe it out. That's what you find inside another hadith, Ibn Abbas, that we find. Whoever does a bad deed, then follow it with a good deed. Tamhuha, it will wipe it out. It will wipe it out. A good deed wipes out a bad deed. So good deeds are a path of taking away bad deeds. But a key element is sincerity. Person that sincerity does those good deeds. And likewise, just like a person may sin in secrecy, person should become frequent in doing good deeds in secrecy. Doing good deeds, that only Allah knows. For what intent? It creates more ikhlas, more sincerity. You give wealth to someone, you help someone, you do something without the person knowing. For what intent? Because you want to be rewarded inside the akhirah. You want to come on the day of judgment, and just like we all want to hide our bad deeds, we want to hide them, then those good deeds that we've hidden from people, because sometimes ar-riya, showing off a form of minor shirk, can enter into the heart of a minor individual. Person conceals the good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have multiplied them many times over. Many that person will come on the day of judgment and see mountains of goodness and ask, where did this come from? How have I got all these good deeds? Don't you remember of advising this person in secret? Don't you remember doing this good deed with this person? Don't you remember giving this wealth, helping this person, doing this, doing that? All in secrecy, so it could be multiplied. That's what this Muslim ummah should be. Just like we may sin in secrecy, because obviously our sin has come alan, has become apparent. That's why we have to rebuke it apparently. If it's done in secret, there's not much that we can do. Because you know what the Sharia says? If a person sins in secret, inside their own home, if a person comes inside their own home, and may Allah forbid is drinking alcohol, and somebody just happens to spy through the door lock, and if I poke the eye, may Allah forbid, then the judge cannot punish me. Because why? It's my house. It's my house. Because he was spying on me in my house. Unless it happened to be the Islamic police or the government who's there. But if it's my house, may Allah forbid, or a Muslim's house who's doing something haram, and a person does that, they'll be punished. But our problem is that sin has become alan. That's why even look at a zina. You find you have to have four clear witnesses. And sorry to be so precise, but because in the hadith it mentioned that each one of them has to state and say that the needle entered. Has to say that clearly. If one of them doubts, it's thrown out of court, it's rejected. This is how accurate the Sharia is. But what do we find? A zina is in front of us. It's in front of us, people, all day long, in front of us. Zina doesn't mean the ultimate sin. In the hadith of Muslim, we find the two eyes will commit zina, the hands will commit zina, the feet will commit zina. What is that zina of the eyes? What do we find? Looking at something which is haram, touching something which is haram, which is forbidden. All what we find in our society, it's all there. But once again, we're not trained. Our minds don't think. We don't train ourselves. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes, guard their chastity, their private parts, to preserve and to protect themselves. Thus we find that Az-Zina, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he mentions that this is the one sin that destroys you on this earth before the Akhirah. If you read the punishment, what happens to the individual, what the evil and punishment which is given, it's not actually evil, it's a justified punishment at the end of the day, but it's evil for that person, and what that person is facing. Why? As a warning. As a warning, when we just begin to find that sinning is trivial, as we began with, our sins lead us to this pitfall, lead us to this state that we're in, that we think nothing of our sins, takes away our iman. That you find that iman is lifted. Iman is lifted, the person who commits haram, iman of the individual is lifted. When a person completes the sin, the iman comes back to that individual. So we have to be very, very wary and careful inside our lives to encourage our own selves to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind the people around us as well to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from the haram, and the temptations are many, the obstacles are many, and the avenues of sinning today are so many. There's so many avenues now made it easy for people. That's why it's very hard to get to Jannah. It's very easy to get to Jahannam, because most of the people, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ لَيُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You obey most of the people on the earth, they're going to be going on the way of misguidance, on the way to Jahannam. And a person should have that, their own personality, their own iman, their own Quran and Sunnah, not the shallow understanding, because people are celebrating Valentine's Day, people are doing this, that we should do this as well. Now you find these talk shows, what they're saying. Not just young people, any of the elderly people as well. They should be giving flowers to one another. And this is what you find in the talk shows at the moment. They're telling the people that everyone should, because why? To create what is normal. How is it something normal? How can zina be something which is normal? The whole essence of this, if you study the history of Valentine's, the history of all this behind it, it's all based upon zina. So how can we find this as something which is normal and acceptable inside our lives? And likewise, we find all this stems into the rest of our daily lives, the haram that we find, we visualize. You know, we become, I don't want to be seen as an outcast. I don't want people to say, oh, I'm spoiling people's fun, or why am I saying this, or family members will be upset with me. What does it say inside the hadith? لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to the creation if it entails the disobedience of the creator. Why are we always worried about what people will say? Why are we always worried what people say? If I don't go to my brother's or my sister's wedding, you know, people, my parents will be upset with me. You know there's going to be munkarat. You know there's going to be haram. And the haram today, man, the tasawwur, the haram, we can't even understand what the haram is today. The way people are dressed and what they're doing, and we just turn a blind eye. The imams will turn a blind eye as well. No harm in this. Let the people enjoy themselves. No. Ulama before. Wallahi, ulama before, when they used to walk on the street, the women used to cover their faces, cover their heads. Out of respect. Today, ulama, they walk on the street, they don't pay much attention to them. Nobody pays much attention to them. In the mind of quwwah wa sultan, there's no strength, no power in their actions and their words. The people know, not that we want to be jabbaroon, tyrannical. People feel. People feel these are people of Allah. They have shame. Have shame in what you're doing, in the way you're conducting yourself, your etiquettes, what you're doing. This is what it means to be a Muslim. And all of us are ulama, all of us average Muslims. Hold fast to your deen, you become an example. Don't become a person who becomes lenient. Lenient towards muharramat. We're very lenient towards the dunya. You should not become lenient towards that which is haram. Because haram will, as I began with, it will destroy ourselves, destroy our iman, and these sins, our sins that we live in, becomes our own mistakes, our own punishment, as they say, we seal our own coffin. We seal our own coffin by this path of sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to stay away from the sins, ma dhahara minha wa ma batan, whatever may be apparent, whatever may be hidden, give us the tawfiq and ability to stay away from them, to become grateful and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the path of obedience, and encouraging ourselves and the people around us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بارك الله فيكم.